Okay, let's get back on our study of these covenants. Look over, we'll start in Deuteronomy. Let's see here. There's one in 30, in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I don't know if I want to. I want to do Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's the one I want to do. The blessing, see, the thing about covenants, this, especially this covenant with God, is this. There's blessings attached to it, and it actually gives you the power to prosper. There's a lot of people that just absolutely cringe when you talk about prosperity. You know, and a lot of Christians, for some reason, that just cringe, and they'll fight you tooth and nail, say there's no such thing as a prosperity gospel. Well, the whole gospel is about prosperity. What they just don't understand, and a lot of people don't understand, is prosperity is not just money. See, that's part of it. But see, when you look at Jesus and understand that he is the most prosperous man that ever walked the face of this earth. And when you get a grasp on this, then you'll understand what prosperity is. Prosperity, Jesus had everything he needed to meet every need that he was confronted with. You know, there's a lot of needs that money can't buy. There's a lot of needs that money can't meet. You know, if somebody's really sick, that money can't meet that need. You know, there was a very rich man up home that was watching a oil-filled truck driver down in this pit. And he looked at that driver and he said, "Son, I would give anything in the world to be able to do what you're doing." He had all the money in the world, and he didn't have health enough to enjoy it. See, money's not going to meet the need there. When somebody is demonically oppressed, money can't buy them out of that. You know, when somebody has PTSD so bad they can't sleep, money can't buy them out of that. But Jesus could meet those needs. See, a blind man came walking up to him and asked Jesus for help. And he walked away seeing. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she spent all the money she had trying to get over her illness. And that money could not fix her. But Jesus did. It was faith in him. Actually, he pointed out her faith. That your faith has made you whole. See, prosperity is so much more than money, and the church needs to get a hold of this. And understand that money is part of the blessing. See, Abraham, he cut a covenant with God, and God prospered him. God prospered him. It tells us that he had a lot of gold, he had a lot of silver, he had a lot of camels, he had a lot of goats, a lot of sheep, a lot of servants. That's financial prosperity. I don't care how you look at it. That's financial prosperity. But what happens a lot of times is some people just focus on the money and they just kind of forget about everything else. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to focus on everything else too. And actually, when you focus on Jesus, all of that's going to come together. Now, here in verse 28, it tells us, this is the blessings of the covenant. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. So he's got us in the country, and he's got us in the city. He said, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. So right there is a blessing for our kids. That blessed shall be the fruit of your body. That's certainly not talking about money, but that's still a blessing. When your kids are healthy, that's a blessing. You know, I know some families that raised some kids that were not healthy at all. They started out very sick. And they stayed sick for most of their life. And those parents had real, real hard times. You know, they didn't really enjoy life the way they could have. The fruit of their body evidently wasn't blessed. You know, one of my biggest desires for newlyweds, before they ever start having kids, before they even start trying to have kids, is to get a hold of this part of the covenant right here. That they understand that the fruit of their womb is blessed. That will go a long ways in stopping a lot of these miscarriages. You know, I've ran into several ladies that had miscarriages and they came in broken. And I pointed them to this. Showed them how the fruit of their womb is blessed. Bless their womb and then go have a baby. And it worked out much better for them. But they could have missed out on that heartbreak. See, I don't think preachers spend enough time talking about the blessing. And the blessing is not just money. There's a lot of people that get all up in arms when you start talking about the blessings. Oh, you're one of those prosperity preachers. Well, that's part of it. But you know that part of the blessing is having healthy kids. Part of the blessing is having a healthy life. Part of the blessing is having a good job. Part of the blessing is having a good home. Part of the blessing is living in safety. You know, part of the blessing is living a life that is not engulfed in fear. There's a lot of Christians that live in constant fear. They need the blessing. They need to get a hold of the blessing. There's a lot of Christians that are afraid to go anywhere. They're just absolutely terrified to go anywhere. Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? What if it doesn't? What if God does what he says he would do? And if you would just get in a little bit of faith and agree with him, and understand what his word says, he'll keep that stuff from happening. It said, blessed shall be your basket and your store. You know, your basket is your storage place. You know, then you have a storeroom. We have bank accounts. You know, he can bless our bank accounts. He can bless our storage places. You know, when you have food coming in faster than you can eat it or give it away, that's a blessing. See, that's, you're living like that tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. You know, your roots are down there. Your taproot is down there getting the life that it needs to grow, even in droughts. And your branches start going over the fences and the fruit gets in your neighbor's yard. See, God doesn't want us to just take all these blessings and just hoard them to ourselves. He wants us to get all these blessings and have an outflow so somebody else can get some of that. You know, when somebody starts receiving blessings from God, they start asking questions. He said, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before you seven ways. See, that's one of those verses right there that you could have as it is written. You know, there's always somebody that's trying to be a bully, or there's somebody trying to get you to be afraid of something. There's always somebody out in the world that just wants to try to get you to be afraid. And this is one of those verses that you can repeat to the devil. He doesn't like it. But you say, it is written. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless you in the land which the Lord thy God has given you. You know, have you ever heard this saying about somebody? You'll see somebody that's pretty successful. They seem to be successful at whatever they set their hand unto. And some people say, well, he's got the Midas touch. You know, there's Christians that are successful at nearly everything they do. It's called the blessing. God commands the blessings on people when they get into his covenant and they stay in there. You know, there's a friend of mine used to say, you know, there's some people that just jump up and grab that curse and pull it down around their ears. You know, they'll do everything in the world to live in the curse. Christians and non-believers alike. You know, the best way to pull the curse down around your ears is start speaking death words over your life or over your situation. See, we're supposed to run around meditating on the Word of God. Those are words of life. I've ran around a lot of people, and I've ran into people that say, I can't do this. Well, it's a sure shot they're not going to be able to do it. But if you run into somebody that says, yeah, I can do it, and as long as that guy thinks he can do it, he can get it done. And you can ask somebody, yeah, how are you going to do it? Well, I don't really know how I'm going to get it done, but I'm going to get it done. You know, those kind of people win. They don't have to know all the answers. They just know that if they go set their hands to it, they'll get it figured out. They'll get it done. They'll make it happen. I remember there was times out in the oil field. The computer, I'm not a computer guy. That's Pete. I'm just not a computer guy. I've actually pushed buttons on computers and have balls of fire come flying out. But there was times I go up there and I'd monkey around with a computer and I'd push buttons and I'd get something to work. And I'd just set back and everything would be working the way it's supposed to work. And I just walked slowly away because I didn't have any idea what I just did. And I wouldn't touch it again if I could keep from it. But there was a lot of times where things worked out the way they needed to work out. And all I could say is God had mercy on me in that situation. That's the blessing. Down here it says, the Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. If you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Now this, for us today, we have some commandments. We have a commandment to live by the law of faith, live by the law of love, live by the law of liberty. We're not supposed to get sucked into the law. We're supposed to believe on Jesus. That's our number one commandment. Believe on him. Believe on the name of Jesus. And then meditate on his word. That didn't go away. God even told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. See, you can run around talking to yourself, saying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. Down here in verse 10, it says, all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord shall make you plenteous in goods in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. Ye shall be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Now, that's the blessing part of the covenant. When they were walking down through these pieces, these sacrifices down in this trough, walking in the blood and the guts and the goo and all that, they were pronouncing the blessings. And then, when they got done pronouncing the blessing, then they'd start pronouncing the cursing. The curse goes on for a long, long time in that. It wouldn't hurt you every once in a while to just go through there real quick, just familiarize yourself with it. And if any of that stuff has taken place in your life, it's the curse. Then you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says that Jesus has redeemed you from the curse of the law. And Paul told us not to frustrate grace. And the way we frustrate grace is to pick up the law and start trying to earn something that God had already given us. Did you know you're not going to earn anything from God? He'll be a debtor to no man. And the best way to receive from him is to learn of Jesus, get familiar with his word, and get that word in our hearts and start thanking him for the things that he's given you. Now see, the blessing is the empowerment to prosper. The cursing is the empowerment to fail. See, you can prosper or you can fail. And God gives you the choice either way. It's not him doing it, it's us. And it's not the devil doing it. He'll help you along the road to fail. It's not the way we were raised. It's not because we grew up in a poor town. It's not because we had no education. The reason we fail is because we choose to fail. The reason we prosper is because we choose to prosper. Either way, it's our choice. And we can't blame God, and it doesn't do any good to blame the devil. You're just giving him undue credit. Now, God chose the thing that would produce faith, and that was building a covenant. He built this covenant. He gave Abraham something to set his eyes on. He gave Abraham something to put his faith in. He knew then that God was serious about this deal that he made. Abraham's covenant with God, you can read about it. It's all the way through Genesis chapter 15 through 18. It's a magnificent story. You should read it. But Abraham was told that he would become a great nation. That's a big promise to somebody that hasn't had a kid yet and getting fairly old. That's a big promise. And then said that he would receive land in which that nation would live. See, God told Abram to leave the land of Ur, leave his family, leave his kindred behind, get out of there. He didn't completely leave all of his kindred behind. He drug Lot along with him. See, he was told to leave everybody except his wife. But he brought Lot. But he got away from the land of Ur. And he wandered around. God had promised that his kids would live in this promised land. And eventually, he would give birth to a certain one through whom the whole of man would be blessed and empowered to prosper. This covenant that God made with Abram was so important. Absolutely everything that we believe in was riding on that covenant. It was because of that covenant that God cut with Abraham that Jesus got here to this earth. That is an important covenant. God knew the beginning from the end, and he can only prophesy to us a little bit at a time until Jesus got here. So Abraham certainly had no idea just how big this covenant was going to be. But it's because of that covenant that he got Jesus on this earth. You know, God also had a covenant with Job. You know, Job, a lot of people like to focus on Job and how hard his life was. They figure that whole bad run of hard times there was about 9 months. But when he repented and he turned back to God and he realized what was going on, God restored him. And he had more than what he had, had better quality than what he had. So things turned out pretty good for Job. But he's operating his covenant out of fear. Abraham, the father of faith, operated his covenant in believing God. God accounted it to him for righteousness. Neither one of them did everything right. But one of them got himself so covered up with the curse for a while that it almost wiped him out. Abraham didn't do everything right. You got to know that. I mean, one time he went down to Egypt and told them that his wife was actually a sister. Technically, she was. But in reality, she was his wife. And then one time, his wife and him got together and decided they was going to help God with this promised child, and they came up with Ishmael. That certainly wasn't a good move. See, Abraham's covenant with God laid out this whole groundwork that culminated into the birth of Jesus, and actually his death on the cross to set us all free. Now, the thing about this covenant is, once God cut this covenant, he had to act toward Abraham in covenant chesed, that covenant love. See, in the law, when somebody made a mistake, death was the prize. So when Abraham, when he ended up with Ishmael, that could have certainly got him killed under the law. But he wasn't under the law. He was in the covenant of grace. See, God looked towards him with love. And actually, the Egyptians, some of the Egyptians, they have a covenant with God. See, when they ran Hagar off with her child, God pronounced to them, there's going to be 12 princes. That was fulfilled. See, one thing we need to understand about God is he is a covenant God. And we need to look at him as the same God that blessed Abraham, even though he didn't do everything right. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to go out there and be idiots. It just lets us understand that even though we make a mistake, we still qualify for the blessing. See, he doesn't just cast us away. Abraham all of a sudden got part of God's name in him. See, he was Abram, but God put an H right in the middle of his name. Abraham. And God took Abraham unto himself, and now he became El Shaddai of Abraham. And God swore by himself, since there was no other that was higher than him, he swore by his own name that he would uphold that covenant. And he did, perfectly to a T. He got Jesus here, born of a virgin. What are the odds of that happening? There were some odds makers, some statisticians, and they started figuring out the odds on the stuff that God prophesied about Jesus. And they're just astronomical. I mean, the odds really go through the roof when you start talking about a virgin having a baby. That's unheard of odds. They're just astronomical. But God made it all happen. Everything God ever said happened, or it is happening now, or it will happen. There's nothing that God ever said that will pass without it happening. Now, God said, is forever. You know, the whole Psalms 136 talks about this. His love never ends. See, we can't confuse God's love with people love. See, there's people, they love each other one day and they hate each other the next day. Then they love each other the next day and then they hate each other the next day. And then they love each other, and it's just crazy. There's that, but what they don't understand is you can love somebody and be mad at them. That doesn't mean that you fell out of love with them. But see, the thing about God, his love never ends. His mercy is renewed every day. I think we better stop right there because we're not going to get any farther there. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your blessings. Father, we thank you for this special covenant that you put us in when we got born again. That is such a special covenant. We could not qualify. And the only one that could walk the walk for us is Jesus. And you gave us the certain key that says to believe on him. And we believe on the name of Jesus, not on our own efforts. Father, we thank you for the grace. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for your mercy every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.